If you have your Bibles with you today, we're taking a quick break out of the Gospel of Mark that we've been going through. Today we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to be reading one simple verse today. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. So here we are. It's that time of the year again. It's time for Thanksgiving, that great national holiday. It's a time where the calendar kind of it comes up and it tells us that we're supposed to slow down just long enough to give thanks. But do we really slow down because we're so busy preparing for the meal? And if you're like my family, one of the traditions that we do around our table is to go around and offer up what we're thankful for. And it's good. It's sweet. It's important. But before we get to the table this Thursday, I wanted to pause here, take that pause from the Gospel of Mark and ask the deeper question. What does God's word actually say about giving thanks? What does God say about giving thanks? Well, this morning we're going to zoom in on this one specific verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. So if you would please stand if you're able for the reading of God's word. This is the word of the Lord. It's inerrant. It's infallible, and it is the inspired word of God. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that your word is perfect, that it is true, that it is right. Father, that it speaks to us, that it is, as we just heard from the shorter catechism, Father, that it is your revealed will. So, Father, may we hear your word today. May we understand it. Father, would you feed us and nourish us by your word? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as I was preparing this sermon this week, I was reading some different things on Thanksgiving, and I came across a blog post written by Paul Tripp. He's a well-known author and pastor. He titled the post this, "Do Not Forget the Generosity of God." And he writes, "We all do it, probably every day. It has a much bigger impact than we realize. The scary thing is, we barely recognize that we're doing it. What's this thing we all tend to do? We forget the generosity of God. In the busyness and self-centeredness of our lives, we forget how much we've been blessed by grace. Every morning, God generously greets us in at least a dozen ways, but we hardly notice it as we rush into our day. Every night, when we lay our exhausted heads down, we fail to look back on the many gifts that dripped from His hands into our little lives." So let me ask you a question. Does that ever happen to you? Have you forgotten the generosity of God? I know I have, and it's so easy to forget. And this is why Paul here is he's exhorting the Thessalonians and back then and now to us today to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, if you're like me and you read this verse, you just read it at a quick glance and you think, well, that's good. It's biblical. It makes sense. This is what I should do. And that's what, you know, the good side voice is telling you. And you got this other voice that's telling you, but you know, you say all that, but is it really practical? Is it really real? You know, something creeps in, doesn't it? We think, is this really realistic what Paul is saying here? Does Paul understand the hard circumstances that I'm in right now? Does he know about the struggle that keeps me awake at night? Does he know the grief that I struggle with, or the pain that I struggle with, or the anxiety that I deal with day in and day out? He just doesn't get that. Now, maybe I'm not the only one who's had that thought. Maybe, just maybe, you've had it too, if you're honest. Sometimes we think this sounds good in theory, but living it out, I mean, that's just That's a whole different thing. Well, the Thessalonians, they felt the exact same way. They felt the same way. You see, the Thessalonians, they were under severe, severe persecution for their faith. And still, Paul writes, give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances. So what does Paul want us to understand what's going on here? Well, this morning we're going to look at three things. The what, the when, and the why of this command. The what, the when, and the why. So beginning with the what. So what does this command actually tell us to do? Well, look at the first two words. It's give thanks. That's the what. So when Paul says give thanks, he's not talking about just some feeling. He's really talking about more of worship. You see, thanksgiving, it's an act of faith that lifts up our eyes off ourselves, and it puts it squarely on the character of who God is. Giving thanks, it's the result of the fruit of a redeemed heart. I mean, anybody can be thankful when life's easy, right? But only the Spirit of God can produce thanksgiving when the soul that is just hurting, that is just struggling with life. You see, throughout Scripture, it reminds us over and over and over again that we are to remember. That we are to remember. We are to remember what God has done. We remember to His grace. We are to remember the cross. See, thanksgiving is our way of remembering. And that leads us to our second point. You ever have a point that was that short before in your life?
I was
going
to say. Kind of moved
that leads us to our second point, the when. So when are we to give thanks? Well, Paul says, he says we're to give thanks when? In all circumstances. As I just said, it's easy to give thanks when life is pleasant, when the prayers are answered exactly the way we want them to be answered, when everything falls into place. It's easy to give thanks when the job goes well, when the family is healthy, when the relationships are joyful and they're peaceful, right? We know how to give thanks for that. I mean, that's easy. But Paul here, he says something that's much harder. He says, in all circumstances, the good, the difficult, the confusing, the painful, the circumstances that just don't make any sense whatsoever to us at all. But notice here, this little tiny word that Paul uses here. He doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. He says give thanks in all circumstances. In. It's that tiny little word that makes all the difference. You see, we're not called to be thankful for the pain. We're not called to be thankful for the suffering. No, we're called to be thankful in the middle of it. We're called to be thankful right there in the midst of it because God is there. You see, this is about trust. It's about you believing that God's in control of all the circumstances, everything that's going on in the world, all the circumstances that you find yourself specifically in today as well. He's in control about that. I mean, think about the last week of Jesus' life. Think about that. If there were ever circumstances that looked completely chaotic, completely out of control, it was that week. It was that week. Jesus, he was betrayed by the one he loved. He was condemned in an unjust trial. He was beaten. He was mocked. He had a crown of thorns pressed deep into his skull. Nails driven into his hands, into his and his feet, put up upon a cross and was in agony and suffering for hour after hour after hour after hour. And you look at that from the outside, I mean, it looked like God He's lost it. He's completely out of control. Everything we've read in the scriptures, it's gone. It's out of control. That's what it looks like on the outside. But he had it not for a moment, not for a second. Every one of those details, every single one, was governed by the very sovereign hand of God. And beloved, if God is in control during that darkest week of all of history, if he's in control of that, then you can be absolutely certain he's in control of your circumstance that you're experiencing right this moment. This is why we give thanks in all circumstances, not because the circumstances are good, not because they're great and wonderful, no, because the God who is good and great is in the midst of those circumstances with you. So that's the what and the when, and now the why. So we're to give thanks, and we're to do it in all circumstances, but why? Why do that? Well, the end of the verse tells us, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You see, whatever circumstance you're in, it's not random. It's not accidental. It's not meaningless. It's the will of God for you. It's God's will for you, specifically, individually for you. It's not in a harsh way, but in a loving Father. He works all things together for the good of his children. You see, God uses circumstances to refine us, to grow us, to sanctify us into the very image of Christ. James chapter 1 says it this way, "Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds." Why? Why should you count it joy to be in trial? Because the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And steadfastness makes you mature and complete and lacking nothing. You see, you might not always see what God's doing in that midst of that circumstance or that trial or that hurt or that whatever that heartache is, but he's always, always doing something. Corrie Ten Boom understood this. You might know this story. Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy, they were Christians, and back in World War II, they hid Jews from the Nazis. And then they were eventually caught, and they were brought to a concentration camp. Well, Corrie Ten Boom wrote a book called The Hiding Place, and maybe you've read it, but listen as I read an excerpt from it. And this is a little bit lengthy, just bear with me, but it really drives the point home of where we are today. So Corrie and her sister are having this conversation. And it starts off by saying, "We lay back, struggling against the nausea that swept over us from the reeking straw in our new barracks. Suddenly I sat up, striking my head on the cross slats above. Something had pinched my leg. Fleas, I cried. Betsy, the place is swarming with them. Here, and here another one, I wailed. Betsy, how can we live in such a place? Show us how. Show us how." It was said so matter-of-factly, it took me a second to realize Betsy was praying. Show us how. Show us how. More and more, the distinction between prayer and the rest of life seemed to be vanishing for Betsy. "Come," she said excitedly. "He's given us the answer. Before we asked, as he always does. In the Bible this morning, where was it? Read that part again." I glanced down the long, dim aisle to make sure there was no guard in sight, then drew the Bible from its pouch. "It was in 1 Thessalonians," I said. We were on our third complete reading of the New Testament since leaving our previous concentration camp. In the feeble light, I turned the pages. "Here it is. Comfort the frightened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. It seemed written expressly for Ravensbrück, the concentration camp we now call home. Go on, said Betsy. That wasn't all. Oh, yes. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's it, Corey. That's the answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this barracks. I stared at her and then around the dark, fouled air room. She's like, such as? Such as being assigned here together. I bit my lip. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Such as what you're holding in your hands. I looked down at the Bible. Yes, thank you, dear Lord, that there was no inspection when we entered here. Thank you for all these women here in this room who will meet you in these pages. Yes, said Betsy, thank you for the very crowding here since we're packed so close that many will hear. She looked at me expectantly. Corey, she prodded. Oh, all right, thank you for the jam-crammed stuff, packed, suffocating crowds. Thank you, Betsy went on serenely, for the fleas and for the fleas. This was too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for fleas. Give thanks in all circumstances, Betsy quoted. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of this place where God has put us. And so we stood between the tiers of bunks and gave thanks for the fleas. But this time I was sure Betsy was wrong. As you go on in this book and you continue to read, the months that followed, Corey and Betsy were able to openly, without fear, without worry, hold Bible studies and prayer meetings with no guards stopping them. Later, they found that the guards would not enter their section because of all the fleas. God used the fleas for his glory, so Betsy and Corey could share the gospel. He used a simple thing like fleas for his glory. Give thanks in all circumstances. We should be thankful because God is worthy of our thanksgiving. That should be good enough. When we're thankful, our focus, though, it moves off ourself, off of us, of our selfishness, our selfish desires, off the pain even of our current circumstance. See, when we get thanks in all circumstances, it helps us to remember who's in control. It's not us. It's not us. It's God. When we give thanks in all circumstances, we remember that we have been blessed beyond measure. We've been blessed by grace. It reminds us of the bigger picture here, that we belong to God and that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Beloved, when we give thanks in all circumstances, we don't forget the generosity of God, the way Paul Tripp says that we so often do. So I have a challenge for you this coming Thanksgiving, this Thursday. It's a challenge for each of you. I want to call it the flea challenge. It's the flea challenge. This Thursday, when you're around the table and you're going around giving thanks for the great things that have happened in your life, I also challenge you to name the fleas. To name those hard things, those hard circumstances, those hard part of your life that you're going through right now, and ask, where is God in this? Where is God in this? How can I be thankful for that flea and what God is doing in my life right now? Because here's what the gospel teaches us. God doesn't waste your pain. He doesn't waste your suffering or your agony or your anxiety, beloved. He redeems it. It's the cross. The cross, it proves it. Where Satan meant the cross for evil, the religious leaders, they meant it for silencing Jesus, but God used it for salvation. If God could take the murder of his son, turn it into salvation, then there's nothing that's beyond his reach for you. There's nothing, nothing in your life that's too broken to redeem, to restore to an all-perfect holy God who loves you. I'm sure some of you need to hear this today. I need to hear it every day. But that, whether it's a job loss or some medical diagnosis, that broken relationship, the prodigal child, any number of things, it doesn't mean God has abandoned you. It doesn't. It means God is at work in your life in ways that you just can't even begin to see yet. At first, Corrie Ten Boom, she didn't understand the fleas. She's like, there's no way God can use fleas for his glory here. But God did. He used it to bring the very gospel to women who were dying. Again, you might not understand the circumstance that you're in right now, but God does. And beloved, I promise you, he's using it. He's using it not to harm you, not to punish you, but to grow you, to shape you, to draw himself closer to you or to him. And there will be one day, the other side of eternity, that we will see. We'll be able to ask him face to face, where every tear is wiped away and those questions that we have is, why did you use this thing in my life? And you'll be able to see and you'll be able to see that it was good all along. That God was there all along with you in it. So until then, we give thanks not because we understand it, because a lot of times we don't understand it. We don't understand it, but because we trust the one who does understand it. God. So this Thanksgiving, I pray that you don't forget the generosity of God, the God who gave you his son, and the God who will give you everything you need.